right, good morning, everybody. So yes, I am excited to start this series. And yes, you do see the slide. It does say 2020 because it was only 4 years ago we did a quick survey through the New Testament. And some little bit of review doesn't really hurt. We're talking about the Gospel of John for the next couple months. And so I thought, well, you know what? We did cover some of this in Bible survey. Let me take a look at some of those slides and see, well, yeah, it does pertain. All right. So, and I'm one that likes to know where to file information. So the Gospel of John, it really was dealing with countering some of the Gnostic teaching. We saw that there's a Greek philosopher, Aristotle, that listed nine categories of the cosmos. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus demonstrated power over all of those things. And we see the power of the word, logos, and we see the power over the world, over the cosmos. Now, there's four Gospels, right? But three of them are the same, sort of, and John's different. So yeah, at first I thought, ooh, yeah, wait, but Bob's preaching on Luke. I don't want to be teaching on John. Well, wait. Luke's one of the synoptic Gospels, and they cover, right, public ministry, Galilean ministry. There's a lot of parables in there. It focuses on the human side and the earthly aspect. And the synoptic Gospels are a lot more official in their writing. Whereas John and John's Gospel really talks a lot more about the private ministry. And it deals with the Judean ministry. There really aren't any parables. There is some different style of writing, and we'll get into that. Focuses on the divine side of God and of Jesus, and talks about heavenly aspects. And it's definitely supplemental to the Gospels, and it definitely is a lot more personal. We're going to see how John writes and reviews some things that went on, and definitely different than the synoptics. The general map, right? We've got this map of Jesus' time, and really the Gospel of John focuses just on the southern region and stuff that was going on there. So, all right. And again, a little review doesn't hurt, right? And Bob is teaching Luke. We're going through it, and I bet I get done with John before he gets done with Luke. But anyways, so in the service later, right, we're reviewing Luke was a Gentile physician, right? So he's coming at things from a little different perspective. He was writing to Theophilus, right, and that means dear to God. Was he writing to a real person, or was it just an expression? Not sure, but certainly Luke is showing Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. And that's a key phrase in there. We've already, 2 weeks ago, we were just through the genealogy and the lineage, and we saw how it goes back to Adam, the first man. And Luke did tons of interviews, right? And he's sharing these personal details. And we're going to be getting into like 35 parables. And a bunch of them are unique to Luke. And there's over 100 references to the Old Testament in the book of Luke. And so that's Luke. I'm not going to go through and read all of this, but Matthew was a Jew, wrote to Jews, portrayed Jesus as the King of the Jews, and so it's very, very Jewish, and surprise, surprise, Matthew has the most Old Testament references. Because Jew writing to Jews, referencing what the Jews knew, the Old Testament. And the lineage was from Abraham and King David. Important things to the Jews. And Mark portrays Jesus Christ as servant. So what's the lineage for a servant? Meh, who cares? He's a servant, right? So I like whenever I'm starting stuff, like I said, I like to know how to file things in my mind. And I always try to, when I'm going to the different gospels, because there's a different style that each of the gospels have, and that is important. So with that, just as background, and since y'all remember all that stuff that we covered just 4 years ago, because I can remember lots of stuff. Let's talk about the book of John. So, John's nationality. He was a
Jew.
And now, which John was he?
Brother of James.
The sons of thunder. John, yeah, I forgot his brother's name.
James.
Brother of James. This was also not the one that wrote the book. Right. This is also the, hey, take care of mom, John, when Jesus is on the cross. Take care of my mom. So, and he's referenced as the beloved. So, the audience, who's the book of John written to? There is some discrepancy. There's some opinion. And is it written to the Jews in Asia Minor, the early Christians, or is it really just evangelistic and trying to reach people? The answer is yes, exactly. And it definitely is supplemental and has really good theology in there. We just covered one of the key verses that they for eternal life, and today we're also going to see another one of the key verses that's right here in the first chapter. So now, Matthew's Jesus Christ as King, Mark is Jesus Christ as servant, Luke is Jesus Christ as Son of Man, John as Jesus Christ as the Son of God. So, what's the genealogy that we might expect? Well, if it's Son of God, how about we're going to go right back to God right away in the beginning, and we're going to reference right back to God. Some of the key words, know, glorify, Father, and certainly to have eternal life by knowing the eternal God. Huge principle in John. The overall tone, like I said, we're not going to see a ton of miracles. We're going to see the nature and the person of Christ. There are some references, about 19, and yeah, I put in there, but 50% a red letter. So Jesus himself is quoting some of that. And just tiny rabbit trail, I'll say. ESV often is a red letter Bible. Jesus words in red. Personally, it's just one more reason I love my NET Bible, because it doesn't have the red letter, because I'm really simple, and when I see black letters and red letters, I pay more attention to the red letters. And if all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, reproof. So just a thought, if you really like those red letters, yeah, it's cool that we have Jesus' words, but remember, all the Bible's good and important.
I don't know if you remember, there was an extreme of that. Tony Campolo started this whole thing about red letter Christian.
Uh-huh.
That was way out of whack.
Yes. And it really is true whenever we focus only on a portion of Scripture, we get out of whack. It happens. So we're really going to see really zero parables, and there's only going to cover like seven miracles or signs. So, all right. With that being said, the author of John is?
John. The Apostle.
Now, technically, the author of the four Gospels is anonymous. Technically, none of the Gospels actually write exactly who it is, but it's so crystal clear we know who wrote each of the Gospels, and heck, they're labeled that way, and there really isn't much dispute, but just by the way, it is from inference and from reading it and from knowledge. So which gospel was like first as far as the order, as far as writing goes? Probably Mark. Mark was probably 50 AD. Matthew and Luke were probably around 60-ish. And John, well, there's those that think John was anywhere from 55 all the way to maybe 90 AD. And also, just because of John's style of writing, it's kind of tough to figure out and establish what absolute. But so all the Gospels were first-hand accounts, were written roughly, we'll say, 30 years after Jesus died and was risen again. Now, when all the Jews went to synagogue, they would read from the Old Testament and they'd bust out the scrolls, right? And that's how they had the Old Testament. So the New Testament, did they have scrolls for the New Testament yet? Well, no, it wasn't written yet. What about the Gospels? So the Gospels were written on scrolls and that's the way they made their tour? They were letters, but in fact, you ever notice how it says the gospel according to Matthew, gospel according to Mark? So early on in church history, they bundled all four of the gospels together and called it the gospel and sent all four of them. They were four letters, sort of, but they bundled them together and it was the gospel. And so there was the four sections of the gospel, and they toured around as one bound book, if you're rich enough and could get the whole book. But lots of times they only copied part of it. But that the gospels toured around as one book, and like we said before, it was written to believers, but it was also certainly very evangelistic. And John focuses on movement of thought, not necessarily chronological or geographical detail. It really is a development of thought. Some of the neat things about John that you don't find in the other Gospels, right? The water into wine, Lazarus's raising. There's extended temple dialogues that we find in John. There's the southern ministry, and certainly if you want to read and establish with somebody, Jesus absolutely, and the connection between Jesus and God and how Jesus is God and Jesus is the Son of God, you go to John. There's also some of the wonderful teachings, the I Am, right? The I Am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I'm the vine. I'm the living water. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Those are all found in John. And then also in John, we're going to see a bunch of opposites. The contrast between life and death, above and below. Today we're going to see light and darkness, truth and lie, sight and blind. So John does a lot of comparison when he's writing. And so it's not quite, because he's not covering the parables and the miracles. Much of what I'm sharing with you guys, I've gotten from Carson's book, commentary on the book of John, Ryrie Study Bible, Wilmington. So in there's a really good book, although it's a really thick and heavy book, Wilmington's Guide to the Bible. It's got wonderful basic overview. And in that book, it's got, and it isn't inspired or anything, but it's just, it breaks down the steps of Jesus and his life, and it breaks it down into like 72 different increments. And it's based on location, so that way he went ahead, this Wilmington's Guide, and the section's called Glory to Glory, but he breaks down, you know, Jesus went from Capernaum to this place, and so it breaks down and it looks at all that. And it was interesting that with regard to Jesus' life, the synoptics have 58 of the steps in common with each other, and 15 are in common with John. And then John has 14 of those as very specific, unique steps. So if we, you know, again, if we didn't have John, we'd be missing a few pieces. And and when we get there at various weeks, I will point out some of the things where, hey, this is information that we only find in John, but yet, really, if you're reading in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there might be a little like, huh, where'd that come from? And it's actually found in the book of John. So although they're definitely dissimilar styles, we know that they go beautifully together. Another thing that was really interesting to me as I studied this, so time period, right? Jesus ministered on this earth for how long?
3.5-ish years.
He was alive 33 years, but he really only ministered really 3.5-ish years. So how does that break down? Well, in Jesus' ministry, in John chapter 1 through 4, really covers the first year. And then the second year is talked about in 5 and 6. The third year in John 6 through 10. And then John 13 through 21 is the last week. That's a lot. And so you can see it's not exactly evenly spaced or anything, but that is the way it just kind of breaks down. So, yeah, I know. Dan, are you ever going to actually start reading John? Yes, absolutely. Because, my goodness, if you don't read the Word, you're in trouble.
That's true.
Now, we all might be really rather familiar with John, but I'm hoping that we can take a fresh look at it. And so, before you even turn in your Bibles, I'm going to just play ESV. I'm going to try to teach for a little bit from ESV. And so I am going to just play ESV. And I want you to just listen to it, think about what it's saying, but also just the style and how I don't particularly agree with the narration style, but just listen and think about what's being said and how it's being said.
According to John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
We're going to stop there and just cover that first little bit. It's certainly not a narration of detail, right? It is a thought that John's sharing about God, and it's a reflection. Some have even questioned, the first 18 verses of the book of John is called the prologue. Some have questioned, did he even write this at the beginning of his writing, or did he write all the rest of the book of John and then kind of come back and write an intro to it? Don't know, doesn't matter.
Why do you think they would question that? I mean, that's off the wall. The critical thinkers do things like that. They go, okay. Try, and in a sense, sometimes they throw a wrong light on things.
Yeah, but just as you study it and as you look at it, we get into details at 19 and we start talking. But have you ever written a college paper and been stumped on the beginning, the intro?
Okay.
And so you go ahead and you write the main body of the paper, and then you come back and go, how do I tie it all together?
Well, I've never written a college paper, but I've never been to seminary, but I've been to Calvary.
You know,
we knew that.
I knew after it came out of my mouth I shouldn't have said that for you, but it's okay, brother. We're all... I wasn't sure if you ever make up a children's story and then come back and, no, you don't do the beginning, but, you know. So, just a different college. Absolutely, a different college. So,
my thought on that about adding it later is he's talking to Jews mostly, and they're trying to get rid of the old Jewish laws, and so now you can't just explain it away. So they want to know, well, what about our forefathers? How did this all start in your world? And so he gives them an explanation. This is how it started, and this is where we are now. That didn't work, and now we have a new way. That's what I think.
Big picture, sure. But as far as this little section, I don't know.
Right.
Let's turn there if you haven't, and I'm going to go ahead and... you know what? Even if you don't turn there, ESV, it's going to be on the screen. So, let's read it slowly together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I actually, you guys are doing so good. Man, I actually wasn't thinking it was responsive, but that's okay. Or... I said together, you know what? I did. And it is dark, and we're used to it, and it's not a bad thing.
You read the light print, we read the dark print.
You know, it's really not a bad thing that we're accustomed to that. Yeah, it's not bad. So, in the beginning was the Logos, the Word. The Word was with God, not just... Yeah, proximity, But no, there's the Greek word there. And so for the rest of the series, when I have in parenthetical there, GRK, Greek, and I'm horrible at like writing out the Greek word. And how many of us can actually read Greek? And Dave's gone, so can you read some Greek?
I can pronounce it when they translate to English.
Okay. I can half pronounce it, but it sounds really funny. So I'm not even going to include the Greek word, but any good study Bible, you'll be able to go ahead and check me. And I'm going to put some of the deeper meaning behind it, because we don't know the Greek, but that's going to be my method. Let's see here. There we go. So when you see, nope, you don't see the cursor. Anyways, when you see it like that up there, that's my shorthand for the Greek. You will also see, and for those of you in the back, you might not be able to see it, but I'm going to use two different styles of parentheses, and the Greek, I'm always going to go with a round. This other isn't necessarily a Greek translation, but a reference to John's style. So, and maybe some detail that's going on there. So we'll go back. In the beginning was the Logos, the Word. The Word was intimately related to God, and the Word was fully God. Not just, a small g God, like some folks are going to try to tell you. No, was fully God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made. All things came into existence through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And in John, he uses a word, and everywhere else, it's absolutely talking about eternal life. 37 times, he's going to be talking about eternal life in John. And the life was the light of mankind. Now, in verse 5, the light, present progressive. So that other was past. But now the light shines on in the future. It shines on in the darkness. A contrast. But the darkness has not overcome it. And the darkness, we so many times go to like sin. But no, this, the darkness, the sphere of influence on people, the darkness hasn't overcome, it hasn't mastered, hasn't comprehended. And the overcome, to seize with the mind. Darkness can't overcome the light. John, in this prologue, really starts with a basic hermeneutic for us for the whole Bible. And what's hermeneutics? Hermeneutics, if you have the tint on the sunglasses, if you have the tint on how to look at things, the slant on things. And John's setting out how to read his book. And it's clear that he really kind of expects people to reread this. And there's so many little things that are in there that you don't get the first time. And, oh my goodness, this is great. So the prologue is the 1 through 18. And you can see that this is a reflective kind of, he's thinking here. He's talking about the light. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Ah. All right. Tell you what, we're going to go on to the end of 18. Again, just try listening first.
There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known."
And that's the end of the prologue. Definitely John reflecting. There's a man sent from God whose name was John. John the Baptist. He came as a witness, a testimony. 33 times in John, that word is about a witness or a testimony. You can translate it either way. To bear witness or to testify about the light that all might believe through him. John was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made, or the world came into existence through him. Yet the world didn't know. It didn't recognize him. He came to his own people. And his own people did not receive him. And at first it says the world didn't know him. The world didn't recognize him. But then he goes to his own people, the Jews. And they didn't receive him. They didn't accept him. They didn't welcome him. They said, "Heck no, I don't want him." But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God.
Yes.
Ah. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I love 12, and it's explaining who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. But then in 13, it's just worded a little funny. So, all right, I had to bust out the NET. Children not born by human parents or by human desire or by a husband's decision, but by God.
That was which version?
That's in the NET.
NET. So that's partly commentary.
No, it is not.
Okay.
The NET, for the most part, it was always described to me and always understood. NET is far more a translator's Bible. And when you look in the notes of the NET, it's translators arguing about how to translate that particular word, that particular passage.
It's not a transliteration, it's a dynamic equivalent.
It is actually a little bit more dynamic equivalent even than the ESV. I don't know about more. No.
Okay.
No, it is not. And that is important, and that is, and it is good to understand, okay, what are these different things? And it's not a paraphrase from somebody. But yeah, it's the translators looking at, because we don't speak Hebrew, we don't speak Greek, and there are some subtleties on how to translate some of the stuff. And that's why sometimes I even am putting the Greek word, and I'm trying to emphasize how, well, yeah, we read an and or a but, and sometimes we just think, oh, it's just a conjunction, junction, right? What's your function? Hooking up words. Oh, okay, yeah, okay. Things together. But wait a minute. Sometimes the word K-A-I, chi, is actually a change in thought. And so it makes a difference whether the two things are totally linked together or, well, wait a minute. Blah, 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 blah. And then especially since John, in this first part, John's reflecting and on all of this, it can matter.
So in some ways, we could that and or the but could also function like there may be a point, like point one is this, and when you use the and, then it becomes point two, and the next but becomes point three, perhaps?
Right. So sometimes. I'm not saying always,
sometimes.
But sometimes. And that's why we need to take a look at it. And I encourage everybody to understand what different translation or transliteration or different versions of the Bible, look at them, understand what they are, and understand their application.
I'm looking at verse 9, and I'm confused with the second phrase that you have printed, which gives light to everyone, because my printed Bible says, which enlightens everyone. Which I have an ESV, but my Bible app, which is an ESV, has what you have. Why is the phrase different?
Well,
I don't see a problem with giving light or enlightening. They're the same
question,
in my
mind.
My
question isn't correct. My question is, why are they different?
You know what? It probably was the year in which it was published. That does matter.
Yeah.
I remember when we switched, to go back to what you said originally, when we switched to the ESV here, one of Bob's reasons, besides the way it was translated, was the ESV didn't have a red letter version. My Bible is an ESV and it doesn't have a red letter.
Well, you can get an ESV red letter. Yeah, they only had black ink for our version.
So this on here now, this is NET right now, or this is... Yeah.
So all of this on the screen, other than when I specified it, has been ESV.
Okay.
What I failed to hit the space bar and move forward, what I read, children not born by human parents or by human desire or by a husband's decision, but by God, is NET. But again, the biggest point, you know what? Get more than one version.
Amen.
Look at them. And then if you actually think that they mean something different,
research
it a little. And most of the time, as long as you're only looking at healthy versions, you're not going to get too far off. You're probably going to have expanded thought, not just the little tunnel vision.
Correct.
So, continuing on. And here's that
conjunction
that is... So, we transition from, okay, eternal life, and, you know, all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, and then we have the... Okay, in the comparison, not the children born of the physical, but spiritual. And now we're transitioning and, or but, the Word became flesh, different thought, and dwelt, tabernacled among us. And we have seen His glory. Sorry. And we have seen His glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then, even in your Bibles, you see, okay, it's a parenthetical note, but by the author, he's reflecting. John bore witness about Him and cried out, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me,' because He was before me." So John was saying, hey, this is that guy who was before me. And he's up here and I'm down there. Four, from His fullness we have all received grace upon grace.
Yes.
For the law was given through Moses. But in comparison, in contrast, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, He made Him known. Again, I'm throwing in the NET. No one has ever seen God. The only one, Jesus, Himself God, who is in closest fellowship with the Father, has made God known. And this whole passage and this whole book is talking about how Jesus Christ and God are one. They're united. They're united in purpose. Jesus is God, the Son, and the two are one. Yes, Dave.
So I find that helpful, NET.
Okay.
And I find the Amplified helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Amplified has commentary.
Yes.
Okay. This does not have commentary.
This is not. This is a bunch of translators who are trying to translate it. And so sometimes it actually won't, it might not read as smooth.
Right.
I'll tell you a little secret. There's one other reason that I have noticed that I really, really like NET. Many times when there's a lot of he, him, she, they, and there's a whole bunch of pronouns in one sentence, I get lost. I also get lost in my marriage when she was telling her that she's... And I'm like, I don't... Well, who's on first? Yes. I don't get it.
Yes, dear, is always the right answer.
Well, that is, but when you're trying to follow, wait, who's the she and who's the he and I don't know. It is true that in the NET, they will put the, instead of the pronoun, they will put the name, the proper name, so that you can keep track a little bit better.
Okay.
Who's on second?
And,
what's on second?
See, I don't know. Third base. You bet. But, so, back to the scripture. No one has ever seen God, the only one, Himself God, who is in closest fellowship with the Father, has made God known. Another, because I don't read Greek, that's the main reason why I didn't track it as well. One other interesting thing, verse 1 and verse 18, there's also some Greek style where it forms an incluso for those literary scholars. And it's kind of the beginning and the end, and it's wrapping it up together. And that's just one of those things that you read and you trust some of the Greek speakers to go, okay, cool.
Right.
I can't diagram a sentence. I'll have Bob help me diagram a sentence, but But the main point of this, and this is unique, we're going to come back throughout our study of John, and we're going to come back and be referencing the prologue, because really the whole prologue is about the Son of God came to the world and became Jesus of history so that the glory and grace of God could be uniquely, perfectly shown. And Jesus is God, and Jesus is going to show us and teach us about God throughout the whole book of John. And really, oh, all right, ignore that bottom line, but the prologue illustrated is really going to be the rest of the book. So if you, again, take a look at the prologue and you see how it's written, and then the whole rest of the book, it's interesting how a bunch of the stuff follows that same organization and that same pattern. And it's just expanding on the truth. And so,
Of the prologue.
And so I look forward to getting into it more. It won't be this heady every week, but man, is this good.
Yeah, really.
So
you don't have to speed it up. This is good. It don't matter if you finish 4 miles or not.
Well, just like the book of Genesis, I am not committing to finish. What I really want is I want you guys to whet your appetite and have a desire to read it. We will try to hit roughly a chapter a week, but next week we're going to finish chapter 1, and I will try to pull out some of the nuances that maybe you don't pick up and try to hit the main point of the passage, because if we don't hit the main point, we're getting off track.
So
focus on the main track. Yes, sir.
At your projected finish date, is somebody waiting to start teaching?
I will defer that answer to Dave, who is preaching later today.
Okay. Well, all I'm saying is, if there's not a hard, fast date you got to finish, don't feel pressure to finish.
Thank you.
Because over, I've taught before, and in my book, the Spirit leads the teacher to hammer upon some text and breeze over others. And there's times when it's like, holy smokes, I can't leave this. I got to stay here for another week. And so that'll push you out a week. And if it does, it does.
Absolutely. And this prologue is awesome. And I would have wanted to stay here even longer if we weren't going to have elaboration throughout the whole rest of the book.
Okay.
So, yes. And I'm going to be teaching for the next 2 months, and then I'm going to take at least a pause of some time, and then I'm coming back for some time.
Cool.
Clearly directed. Last word, Fred.
All right. Well, you remember when Philip talked to Jesus, he said, show us the Father, and it'll be sufficient for us. And he said, Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That's what this book is about.
Absolutely. You know. Absolutely. Thanks for wrapping it up. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truth. Help us to enjoy digging into it and seeing what you have for us through it. Amen.